Good evening, everyone, from Gustavus City Hall, and welcome to the September 5 City Council work session. And we will begin with the reading of our vision statement. Council member will do so for us.
We envision a distinctive community that prospers while and by protecting its natural resources, with a sustainable economy and infrastructure that assures public health and safety while promoting personal development and initiative, and where all members take social responsibility and actively participate in decision-making affecting growth, development, regulation, and enforcement, and in which people retain a closeness with and caring for each other individually and collectively while working together to accomplish community goals and preserve community traditions.
Hey, thank you. And we are pleased to have our incoming city clerk, Lisa Barker, here joining us to watch the meet. She just came into town today on the ferry. So she's here to work with Karen Platt as we work through the work session. We've got several items on the work session agenda in addition to going through the general meeting agenda. One of the first things is that due to, I'm going to have to be out of town probably next Monday, and our vice mayor also is not going to be available for the meeting. So it looks like next Monday we will have to, per our ordinance, we will have to call the meeting to order on the second Monday, as is required by ordinance. And we will do the first item, which will be to swear in the clerk. And then I postpone the rest of the meeting agenda for the next Monday. And that's kind of our plan right now. I don't know if I'm going to be back. It'd be nice to have everybody here as much as possible. So that's kind of what we're expecting to do, and we'll keep you informed on, you know, on any change on that plan. I guess we could work through our agenda first for the general meeting, and partly because we're so we're kind of short on council members for next week, and we're generally kind of pushed or pressed here in City Hall with a number of things, and I'm likely to be out of pocket here for a while. So we're going to try to keep our agenda as minimum and not pick up any extra stuff. And some of the things that we've been wanting to work on, we can still discuss some in the work session tonight, but there are some actions that if we don't need to add them to the agenda for September, I'd much rather hold them for October when we are in better position to deal with them with less rush and so forth. And that will also give our new clerk a little bit more time to get her feet on the ground and be more on top of these things so we can pick up more stuff in October. So if we begin working our way through the expected agenda, the first would be approval of minutes. And so I hope you'll all, if you haven't read the minutes from the August meeting, please do so and identify any things that you'd like to, if there are any changes or additions you'd like to make, let the clerk know.
Can I do that now?
Sure, you could.
So I apologize from last time at the meeting that the motion I was to make was not written out on the cheat sheet like normal, and I could not for the life of me pull out the word introduce, when I went to make the motion. And so I do think that in terms of it, it's in the minutes as I stumbled through it, but then Mike did go back and change it for me and correct me and use the word introduce. So I'm going to suggest that you either change it to say that we move to introduce it, or because Mike put that out there and I agreed, or else change it to say that Mike made the motion with the word introduce. But really, that's what the motion is all about, is that we're moving to introduce it as opposed to approving it. So I would see what people think about changing that in the minutes.
It was, as I recall, that was properly an introduction, and we have it for approval this month. So that's what the minutes should show. If they don't, so
if you can check that. According to Robert's rules, the minutes should show how the motion was made by the person that made the motion.
Yeah, well, we corrected the motion.
Then Janine would, the proper way to change it would be Janine to repeat the motion how it's supposed to be said. But if you guys would like to direct me to change it, I will.
Yeah, please do. That's it, because otherwise, I mean, we did not approve it. All we did was introduce it. So, and that's what everybody was voting on.
Item 11?
From last, yeah, which item was that?
Yeah, it's item 11.
Okay, so we can get that corrected again, I think. Because she agreed when I said it was actually an introduction, not approval, that she agreed to the change. And that's what was seconded, too, I think so. Okay. So thanks for catching that in the minutes. We'll have reports from the library's quarterly report. The treasurer will have their weekly financials, and the city administrator will have her report. Is there anything, Kathy, you'd like to introduce from your expected report at this time during the work session?
Probably the main thing, because I know we're trying to keep the discussion tonight down. The only thing I don't know if you want me to wait until that comes up or you just want me to bring it up now, but it was, we talked about asking the attorney a question about, cameras and surveillance, and I did have a chance to speak with him today.
Sure.
So I can run through the few things we discussed on that, but I don't know. So basically, he said the only legal guidance is for this is that it's a policy decision for the council. There's no Alaska law prohibiting putting up cameras anywhere in public. There's nothing against state or federal laws that prohibit that. That you have no right to privacy in public. He even said, like, if somebody is riding their bike and you take a picture, they can't say you can't use that picture because it was done in public. He said, now, whether the city wants to go through a process, whether it's a work session, whether it's a town hall, whether it's a vote, that's up to the council to determine what kind of process they want to follow in order to have the discussion. He said that in Craig, they were having issues. They had a burn pit, which was just for paper and not for anything else. And people were abusing that, and they were putting plastic and tires and all kinds of things in there. And they issued, at least 40, 50 citations, all of which were paid. And the next year, they didn't have a problem anymore. So he is saying that it does work and that they didn't have to go, they didn't go through a public process to do that. They had the right to enforce their rules in so doing. But that was, he's just using that as an example. He doesn't advocate for it one way or the other. He said it's up to the council how they want to deal with that. If the council wants to look at it as minimally as we have the right to protect our property by doing whatever, then we can. If they want to have a vote, they can, you know, go as so far as to have a vote, then they can. So there, you know, it's up to them. He said, you know, nobody there when that was all cleaned up, or even when they put the cameras, nobody raised any concerns about privacy. Because we have the CRMA with the state, we would want to seek their approval for the beach part that is under the CRMA to make sure that they're in agreement with it. And I then brought up about, we're not clear whether the vaulted toilets are on the lease land or on the beach land, because you had mentioned that.
They're on city property.
Oh, they are. So yeah. We don't have to worry about that, because yeah. He said,
that's
you
property.
Don't have any obligation to maintain anything that's not on that property. That would be up to the leaseholder. So he said, ultimately, it's what does the city want? What does the council want in order to move that forward? But there's nothing in law or anywhere else that precludes us from doing it, including our ordinance. So.
Interesting. Yeah, we can. I do have that on the agenda for, if people want to talk about it some more later in the meeting. So, but that's, thanks for that update. I was interested in hearing what he said. Anything else you want to?
Well, no, just that we are looking at updating a plan. The Alaska Municipal League is soliciting. They're trying to bundle some a grant for planning for community firefighting and wildlife fire type of planning, where you look at, you know, the whole area. So it's planning dollars. So then if you have other needs to mitigate, you would have a planning document into place, and they're soliciting communities to send something into AML so they could try to bundle a bunch of planning proposals together. And we were the first one to do so today. So, I mean, there are other things, but I wasn't, because I thought we were shortening this. So I didn't, okay. I didn't, unless anybody has any questions about anything else.
Kyle was going to ask them.
I was just seeking some clarification on that. We were advised to definitely consult the council and discuss it as a council what we want to do with surveillance. Is that something you kind of touched on, but I wasn't really fully understanding that?
Well, basically what he said is the council could have a discussion and decide if, you know, they want to be as minimal as go ahead, we want you to do this, or whether they want to go as far as having a vote, with this town, I don't mean the council's vote. I mean, whether they wanted to put something on a ballot.
An advisory vote.
You could go either way. You could say, just talk about it in a work session. You could talk about saying we concur with taking the measures we need to take in order to, you know, try to prevent this from happening. Or you could say where, you could say how. You could say the process you want to do it, but it's up ultimately to the council, the policy that they want to make on that.
Sure.
And I would like to write a question to send on to the lawyer, because from my reading of what policy requires, that we have to have we can enforce our rules, but we don't have a rule about, you know, the trash, dumping household trash and dumping hunting buckets. So my thought is that we have to have an ordinance and a resolution. And so I'd like to prepare a question. And there's a process, there's a procedure about how council members can send a question to the attorney. But if you're willing to send my question forward, then that's okay. Then I won't go through the bureaucratic.
Yeah, you meant we'll okay. Support that.
Yeah, I'm happy to send whatever, but that's got to be approved amongst you guys, I think.
And
as long as you don't have a problem with it, then I can send it. I think that's the way it works.
Yeah, if she's got a question, send it on to them. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, it's
probably be something we will all learn something from.
And I'm not being meaning to be contentious or anything, but with the question that Shelley raised a couple meetings ago about it just being done in haste prior to consulting the council, I'm just wanting to confirm that it was the legal advice to have the council involved in those decisions, or no, that we don't have to.
The authority of the mayor, I think, is what.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it is just up to the mayor.
Well, he's recommending a policy.
Directly. I just, you know, what I read into our ordinances was we are entrusted in two different sections in our ordinance with caring and protecting for our properties and our land. And the method by which, you know, we have to do that is unsaid. And so because that seems to be a common way to address these issues, who knew there was going to be a problem? Because so many other people do use that method and they don't have to go through this process. So, yeah.
They're special.
Okay, well, we could talk about that a little more. Well, or
I'm not actually jumping in on the security camera thing. This is kind of a dumb question that I probably should have asked ages ago, but if you could enlighten me on CMRA, what that acronym for our agreement we have with the state, does that
CRMA?
CRMA, what does that stand for?
Cooperative Resource Management Agreement.
Cooperative Resource Management Agreement.
Because the state owns those tracts.
Yeah.
Not the 1 acre that the bulk fuel facility is on. We own that, but everything else around it.
Yeah.
Tract A and Tract B2, they own. And we manage that the same way we do the central part of the harbor, and that we did for a while with the park here before the city took it via a cooperative management resource management agreement.
Okay, great.
When it's state land.
Perfect. I had inferred the relationship. I was just always curious what it stood for. Sure. So that's all.
Well, and this would preclude if we did decide that ultimately we wanted to go forward with that. It would preclude anybody once approved by the state from saying that you didn't get permission from the state to do it. So that's why you would take that route.
Sure.
So.
And the DNR lands manager is planning to be out here sometime this month. So we'll walk the park and let you know too, if you want to meet me. Since you've been a beach advocate for so long.
Well, and one more thing, I think the Coast Guard's going to be coming out here at some point to look at various leadership functions to come together with, you know, the park and probably the state and us to maybe map out emergency planning from their perspective too. Yeah. So.
Okay. Well, thanks. And we can talk more about the beach policy, et cetera, a little later in the meeting. I still have it on my list of other stuff to talk about. We have nothing on the consent agenda for this month. Ordinance for public hearing. The first one is FY24 NCO capital project funding to AMLIP reserve. Ben, do you want to do a quick review on what that one is? This is one that we introduced last month and we will approve at the next meeting.
I'm sorry, Mike, I wasn't paying attention. Are you talking about the AMLIP accounts?
It's item 5 on it's FY24-03 NCO capital project funding to AMLIP reserve. In other words, just moving that is just that.
Yes, we're
moving that extra cash, so it's where it makes some interest.
Yes, it's moving $300,000 of surplus funds out of the checking account into the AMLIP reserve account.
Okay. Any questions about everybody remember what that's all about, I think? Okay, good. And the next one is FY24-04 NCO AMLIP FY24 R&R fund. So that's just moving $15,545.71, I guess. Member and replacement. That's our annual contribution to that R&R account. And it's already in the the actual action that we called for when we did the budget. So it shows that's an expense on the operating budget for this year, putting it into the for R&R. Okay, and then the similar thing with item 7, FY24-05, that's our gravel pit fund contribution, and it's $6,000 that was budgeted for this fiscal year to put in the savings for the gravel pit fund. And essentially that's cash that we're using some or most of the cash that we get from contractor purchases of gravel to put it into the savings for improvements at the pit. Kathy, were you wanting to say something?
Yeah, sorry. One of the things I forgot to just, this reminded me of it, is they finally have the dredging equipment operational for one or more of us or one of the contractors if they want to go over there and check it out during its operation. But they'll probably likely be putting it up for grabs at the end of the year.
Yeah. So can you work with our contractors and see who wants to go over and take a look at it?
Yep.
And
during operation.
Yeah. When it's operating. Yep. And I guess we got to pay somebody's airfare. We can do that.
Yeah. We got to figure out if it's going to be working.
But they were talking about selling that to us for $87,000, I think.
Something along that nature. I don't know what the shipping would be over here, and I imagine there'll be a few parts and pieces. And
they proposed another $5,000. If we pay them $5,000 for them to send over a guy to help set it up and train on how to use it. So that's a pretty inexpensive drag line.
Can I interrupt too, Mike, real quick?
You may.
I believe what you just said a second ago was that the $6,000 is money that we make from the gravel pit sales. If last year we made $44,000 off of gravel pit sales. So it might be something that the council wants to think about going forward, that originally it was set up as $6,000, but we could definitely be putting more towards the gravel pit fund if the council
wanted to. Yeah. And we can use what funds in there though, plus, like if we buy this piece of equipment, we're going to have to appropriate a bunch of capital funding for it. I think we've been doing 6,000 every year, and it used to be that was a good part of the, maybe half of what we used to get, and now we get a lot more.
That's correct.
Well, given that they just put 600 yards on the roads and that just barely scratches the surface, we really need to think about getting, making sure we can continue to do that.
So. Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's vital to us. Okay, we'll have the swearing in of our new city clerk. Madam Clerk, is there a chance we could just move this to the head of the agenda, maybe even before approval of minutes? Is there any reason not to do that? Because especially if we're going to swear her in and then maybe postpone, could we just list it up at the top of the agenda? We can probably do any agenda we want, right? Within some limits. Agenda order. We just
post it. I think what you're going to have to do if we do end up postponing is during mayor's request for agenda changes to postpone everything but those agenda items that you want to keep, and then we will move after that.
We could do that. I guess I was thinking it'd be nice to have the city clerk sworn in right at the top of the meeting. Of course I could add,
I think you're going to have to at least do the minutes and go to agenda changes.
And then agenda changes, I could move it up, and then we could do that. And then we could, if we're going to adjourn, if we're not adjourning, that I think it's still
so
good.
So that's what I was saying. Yeah. You're going to need to convene the meeting. You're going to need to do the approval of minutes, and then doing mayor's request for changes to request to postpone everything to whatever
the next Monday meeting,
and
next Monday night,
with the exception of whatever items you want to keep.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm sorry, I was multitasking. I know that we want to swear in the clerk, but are we wanting to do the ordinance for FY2405 NCO as well? We're on ordinance for public hearing now, is what I'm seeing on the screen.
I guess I'm not understanding what you're asking. I mean, that we do in the, we would do that the next week. There's no need to do it immediately.
What agenda item are you talking about right now? Is what I'm
asking. We were talking about swearing in the
item
clerk.
8, and it just happened to be left on the screen for my.
Because there's nothing in the packet. Yeah. So.
Yeah. We just haven't come across.
Sure. Okay, so that can be my plan. I can move that in the agenda change. I'll just change the order and move her up. I may be able to do it from online. I just don't know what my situation is going to be. So,
does it have to be either the mayor or vice mayor that run the meeting?
No. If neither the mayor or vice mayor are here, somebody else moves right at the first of the meeting to assign somebody as presiding officer, somebody who is here. And then they would lead the meeting for the, through the meeting. So, and they would only have to, in that case, go to, just do the, what we said, swear in the clerk, and then somebody would move to postpone the rest of the agenda, I guess. Or the presiding officer could move that.
Or just
run the whole meeting.
Someone feels comfortable doing that. And
right. That's a possibility too.
Yeah.
We just would be short several council members. I don't know if Tanya's what her schedule's like. I think Jim Muscoviac will be here. He's just not, he was going to be online tonight, but I don't see him. Maybe didn't have Wi-Fi where he is.
So a point of clarification, if I can, a quorum here is 5 council members, or we're 4 council members of the 7. Okay, so we would still potentially have a quorum there.
We could have.
Even if either Tanya or Jim. Well, we could potentially kind of set that as the logic around whether or not we just run through the things. Because I feel like a lot of this is non-controversial. Maybe
it's
there's something
pretty
that
routine.
Maybe if there's something that we find some sort of point of dissonance on tonight, we don't have to do anything there with a limited council. But I'd be happy to appoint someone as presiding officer for the meeting so we can get through this and not have to wait till a month from now, or I guess another week.
Yeah.
If that suits you.
Did you mean to say have the council appoint you as presiding officer?
I mean, I would be happy to do it if I...
room. So, yeah. But of course, during COVID, none of us were in the room.
Yeah.
Let me read C from Mayor. Mayor presides at council meetings. In the
Excuse me, folks, but I've lost audio. Is it just me? Thanks.
Me too.
Melissa Gohm, can you hear us now? She's online. Susan, are you hearing us at all now?
Yes, I hear you now. Thank you.
Okay, so we must be okay now. Okay. Thanks, Brian. There's one other thing, too, on this that would simplify this whole thing slightly. Those under background, the two red sentences that Ben added in there are sort of explanatory for this particular change. And they're the kinds of things I'd say that if you wanted to, they could go in the resolution, but they don't need to be in the actual policy and procedure. We don't have similar sentences in there for other aspects of the policy and procedure, for example, explaining the other holidays. I would like to suggest, unless anybody objects, that we just take those two paragraphs out.
Can you tell us?
The two that are in red on the under background. Yeah. And they're kind of explanatory of this particular change, but this is a policy and procedure that lives on and is general. So I think if you put something like that, you put it in the resolution that explains the change, but not in the actual policy and procedure. But I read the resolution and I think it doesn't really need it. Views, anybody?
And if we were really looking to like make sure the resolution covered everything, I'd be open to seeing a line in there about the reason behind adding Martin Luther King Day, but I feel like that is pretty well covered when you say, you know, speaking broadly, wishes to provide adequate benefits. So yeah, I would either way is fine with me on
that. I mean, you could move them in as two whereases into the resolution.
Mm-hmm. If a little bit of a
if you want
maybe.
To, but the whole idea is to pass this and have the policy in place, and that's the main thing. And I think we can do that without having those two items written in. You're thinking about it, Janine?
No, but I'm confused because Kathy said we're taking these out of policy, or you had said that you were going to remove them and put them into procedures.
No, they're in the policy and procedure.
They're in ordinance.
Ordinance.
Oh, the holidays are.
But is there anything in here that says they're coming out of ordinance?
No. Are the
Can I cut in?
Yeah,
please. So there wouldn't be anything in the policy and procedure discussing us taking this out of the ordinance. It's in the ordinance. It's also in the policy and procedure. I've been working on creating an amendment for the ordinance, which would remove the holidays from the ordinance. It would still be in policy and procedure. And if the council chose later on to add another holiday or take a holiday away, we could just change the policy and procedure and wouldn't have to change the policy and procedure and amend the ordinance. That's right. What Kathy was saying.
Right.
But this isn't dealing with that at the moment.
No, we're still adding a holiday via the policy and procedure, which we can do. It doesn't say in ordinance that you don't have any more. It says those are holidays, I think. So we can add a holiday via policy and procedure if it is, because the policy and procedure is adopted by ordinance, so that council can do that. I mean, most of our policy and procedure for benefits is handled really in, I mean, or our benefits policy is as shown in the policy and procedure for benefits, which this is.
Well, and if I might, so adjusting the ordinance is a little bit more problematic. We do need to take it out of the ordinance so it, you know, so it's not there. And
right.
So this, so because it doesn't match, but we try to get updates to the ordinance done like two or three at a time. And we do have a few other ones we need to look at because it's expensive to do it. So, I mean, we could still do it, but we're hoping to do a couple of them. But we do need to rewrite the ordinance. And no, that's not in here right now. Ben, might we have that for
It's possible. I've been working on it. I'm just a little unclear. The ordinance itself doesn't draw a roadmap for how to amend the ordinance. So I'm trying to find a template to go with because ordinances have been amended. I have the wording. I just not sure how to present it to the council. So that's what I've been working on.
We can help you with that. There is a direction in there for amending ordinances in our code, probably in Title II.
She can give him direction.
Clerk can help us on that. But I think what we can do is, I mean, we can go ahead and make that ordinance change or introduce the ordinance to take the listing of holidays out and put in a thing that says holidays will be set in the benefits policy. So we could introduce that October or whenever. Even if we don't do anything more, what's expensive is posting it online. So we can go ahead and make that, get that change started. And if we want to wait to have it posted online along with other ordinance changes, say a month or two later, we can do that. If we have other ordinance changes we're making, but I'd say we should introduce it in October just to get it started to where we won't have a different thing, a different listing of holidays in ordinance versus the benefits policy.
And additionally, I know Ben's waiting for information about the 60-day thing. It could be that this sort of got conflated with, so if you do have benefits, according to a colleague of mine who's an HR person, you must provide them within 60 days. Now, I don't know if that has to do with if you have more than 10 employees or not, but if you are providing them at where she works anyway, they have more employees than 10, obviously, on there, but they have to provide them within 60 days. And that could be where this statement is coming from. So that's why he's waiting to get that straightened out.
Okay, but as I say, if we can finesse it so it doesn't refer to that at all.
Right. It may just say it'll be the first of the month following your date of hire.
Or as soon thereafter as allowed by the insurance company or provided by the insurance company.
Yeah. So basically, that's it. And it updates that it straightens out the fact that that your sick leave is accrued.
Okay, so
that's basically straightens that out because it was nebulous in there.
Ben, I guess you'll work with the clerk to take out the two extra paragraphs in background and do a, finesse that sentence in procedure paragraph B. To get rid of the 60-day reference.
So I did take out
the packet that is posted for the meeting.
Right. So because Karen needs that tonight, I did take out the two paragraphs and I added the wording or as prescribed.
The first of the month or as soon thereafter as provided by the
Insurance provider's company. Policy and procedure.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I think that'll get it, cover it well enough. And probably most of the time it'll be the first of the next month. But if their policy changes that way, we don't have to change our policy and procedure. Okay. So that's that.
Mr. Mayor.
You go ahead.
Before we move on to the mayor's report, we kind of sped past the consent agenda, which I'd like to add an item to, which has to be approved next month. It's the resolution for the appointment of election officials for the...
Yes.
So I'd like to have that be on the consent agenda.
Thank you for reminding us of that. Mm-hmm. You had emailed that stuff to us, and I forgot to write it down. So thanks.
Karen has it.
And thanks for working that up and getting that organized.
Okay. And Wednesday is the deadline for council applicants. So if you're talking
this coming Wednesday, we'll see.
Mr. Mayor, that agenda item is going to be on new business because it's a resolution. But I already have it on
there. Well, we can put resolutions on the consent agenda. We still have to read it. We have resolutions routinely on consent agenda, do we not?
No, we don't, for that very reason.
We've had a lot of them in the past.
That was years ago.
I mean, I can remember reading them. But if you want to put it in new business, it works just as well there. Okay, we'll put it in new business. So, Shelley, did you hear? We'll put it in new business. She likes it there better. So we'll do that. Okay, as long as we got it on there, that's what's important. Okay, and...
If I may, I have a couple... I mean, I realize...
About the agenda?
No, on this health insurance thing.
Oh, sure.
And so, I mean, we're updating this, and it's going to have our name on it that we've updated it. And I'm looking at this part that says health insurance, and then it talks about employees opting into the group plan prior to June 15, 2018. It seems that that's no longer relevant, and that maybe we would want to clean this up while we're working on this and just strike that, because it seems that it's not relevant to the policy today.
Is there anybody affected by it who opted in?
No.
Accordingly? That was a decision on that council made back under Miranda, I think. There were people that were before that, and they were changing it only for new employees after that.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do you guys think? You think we ought to just delete that?
Replace that with the sentence something like, any qualified employees opting into the city's group health plan will enter at a city employee premium contribution ratio of 80%, 20% respectively.
I think that would work. Ben, do you see any reason not to do that? Or Kathy?
I don't know. Not that I feel like arguing about. If you guys don't want it in there, we can take it out.
Do you see any benefit to having it in here?
Just that it shows the dates. It's like we also have at the top, it says by ordinance FY 2012, adopted April 12, 2012. That doesn't really matter anymore either. But we're not necessarily taking out because it gives some kind of historical background. But it's not, like I said, it's not work. We can take it out, strike through. I didn't hear your sentence that you wanted to replace it with, but I can, you send that to me, all taken care of.
I mean, it doesn't.
Yeah, I think given what's in the background section at the top of the policy, I'd be. I guess it says occurred. But yeah, I don't think that's necessary to have in there. I'd be happy to strike that. Initial enrollment occurred by May 15th, 2018 for coverage beginning June 1st, 2018, unless we need for some historical reason. You could even move that sentence to the background section if it's pertinent for some sort of historical record to prove that we did do that. But yeah, I don't see a need to have it in the policy.
So, and then we could just leave it to say employees may enroll during the group health plan renewal period each summer with coverage beginning September 1st, or like I said, I didn't hear what you said, Janine, you had a...
Just take out that initial...
Okay, and take out thereafter and start with employees.
Go away, right?
Yeah, I think that's great. Just capitalize the E in employees and we're good. We'll roll with it.
Okay.
Because somewhere it needs to probably say that it's that 80 to 20% contribution. Is that important?
That's in the next paragraph down?
No, that, I'm sorry, that's in health insurance one. It's in the third paragraph, or it's the second and the third paragraph.
Because what it says is that for those qualified employees under health insurance one. And the second paragraph talks about before June in 2018. And then it goes on to say that the ratio is 80%.
Yeah, that's, city that ratio is important.
Is important, right. So in addition to anything else that you think should be in there, the sentence that I thought would be any qualified employees opting into the city's group health plan will enter at a city employee premium contribution ratio of 80-20% respectively.
Right.
And then whatever dates or what any other information you thought should be in there.
Okay, so you're talking about taking out the whole second paragraph under health insurance, leaving the third one where it says any qualified employees opting into the plan after June 15th, 2018. So,
and you probably don't need that date, just any qualified employees opting into the plan.
Right.
Enter at the 80 to 20% contribution.
Okay. Yeah, I support that change.
And just you need in this sentence here, it's not got the city coming first slash employee. So you would want to make sure that that was in there so you knew who did the 80 and who did the 20.
Yeah.
So that's why I would say that it's that to include that city slash employee in there so that you know which is the 80% and which is the 20%.
I'm sorry, can you say that again, Janine?
Yeah, so you see in this in the paragraph two, you are defining that the city, it says city slash employee premium contribution ratio reaches 80 to 20%.
Okay.
So you need to have in your, if you're going to take that paragraph away, you need to have in whatever you write that the 80% is the city and the 20% is the employee. So yeah. That it's...
Well, it says respectively, 80%, 20%.
Right.
But no, but if you're taking this out...
Yeah, but if you take that whole paragraph out, then...
Well, but this part could still be there.
Right. Just as long as it's in there defined.
Yeah.
Which is which, however you want to word it.
Yeah, I think you could remove the entire second paragraph, and then in the third paragraph, it's really just a sentence, you know, remove after June 15th, 2018. Yeah. And then you could say, we'll enter at A, 80%, 20%, and then maybe parenthetically city slash employee to define that and make sure that's clear.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I think if that whole second paragraph goes, that's yeah. You got eagle eyes there, Janine. That's great. That needs to be defined.
Okay, so... entirely.
That's what I'm thinking.
And the third paragraph then says any qualified employees opting into the city's group health plan will enter at a city slash employee premium contribution ratio of 80%, 20% respectively.
That's great.
I like that.
Yep. Yep. That's great.
Okay. So can you give that?
Yeah, I can give that. Yeah.
To Ben.
Can I just read?
Yeah. And then but then on that other under B, we're also going to get rid of that first sentence, initial enrollment occurred on May 15, 2018. That sentence goes away and the word there applies E on employees.
Okay, so I got that part. Can I go back to any qualified employees opting into the city's healthcare plan will enter at a city employee 80%, 20% contribution ratio respectively?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I did have some other comments in terms of the sick leave, and I know that we weren't necessarily planning to update the whole thing, but I think while we've got this open, that it maybe is a time to have a question about the fact that the supervisor has to approve sick leave. And I feel that my objection is that a health and medical decision are personal and they shouldn't be made by a supervisor. And that I would suggest that we say an employee must notify his or her supervisor of his or her use of sick leave.
What do you think, Kathy?
I think that this is a common statement that's in here by most employers. Nobody asks anybody to submit a leave slip if they call in sick all of a sudden, and nobody isn't approving anybody It's like if you're going to go to an appointment, you're going to get on the ferry and you're going to go into town for 3 days, even though your appointment's only one day, you're asking for leave to go for those 3 days. And it's not, I mean, it's not out of the ordinary to put a leave slip in to notify that. You're not really seeking permission. You're getting a leave slip signed so that we all know you're gone. And this would take a lot more digging to kind of figure out if there's some sort of new modern day way of doing this, but I've never seen, I mean, we had to put one in too, if we were going to go somewhere and fly somewhere and go to the doctor. And so you're not making any decisions for anybody, and you're certainly not saying anything to anybody about not being able to stay home sick or anything like that. So,
well, idea of approving it, not that employees we have now might cheat on this, but theoretically somebody can claim 5 days of leave, of sick leave, when they weren't really sick, and the supervisor might decline to accept that because essentially they'd be getting extra paid time off.
And
you could switch it to paid time off.
And can unreasonable denial of approval be appealed by the employee?
Sure. And, you know, I think we're going to be pretty generous and understanding of employees and trust them to use that properly, but it doesn't hurt. I don't think it hurts for the, I mean, what's approved is the leave categorization of those hours. And I think that's okay. Now, you know, if we want to think more about sick leave or how that works, I think we need more time. So I don't think we probably ought to try to work in a change now. But if you want to think about it some more and what the implications are, then, you know, and propose something later, we can adjust it, the policy again.
Well, I can look at other policies from other places and move that forward. But in all of my employment history, that's what's been required.
Yeah.
And I've never taken offense to it.
How the hours are coded.
Yeah.
Essentially.
And then I did have one other comment on the PTO, where it says scheduling of the PTO, somewhere it says is contingent upon the needs of the department facility. I would suggest adding scheduling a PTO will attempt to balance the needs of the individual and the department facility, because I guess I feel that you're taking that off, and we should be looking at the needs of the individual as well as balancing it with the department, and as opposed to just having it be department driven.
Like three bullets up from, hold on, let's see. Yeah, just a couple bullets up from the bottom in that list of bullets under PTO.
Can you say that again, Janine? I didn't hear exactly what you said.
So in the bullet, it says an employee must receive approval of his or her supervisor for planned PTO. Approval of PTO is contingent upon the needs of the department/facility. And I'm suggesting that in that sentence, it says scheduling of PTO will attempt to balance the needs of the individual and the department facility.
That's something we need to mess with now. That something I think would be sort of understood.
Yeah, I think you're basically like explicitly stating that management is going to operate in good faith, which I think is not necessarily a bad thing, but
we hope we will.
Not necessarily the most urgent right now, but I'd support putting that in there as well. I can't imagine our supervisors at this moment are being egregious about people's requests, but I see the value, and you know, we have this open right now and we're going to make some changes, so we can do that. So I don't know. Anyone in a rush?